shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need. How many can say amen to that this morning? He's never late. He's an on-time God. Hallelujah. You can be seated for just a moment. So we're so thankful to be gathered together again. We've got our precious brother Ron and his lovely wife, Sister Connie Spencer, with us from Virginia. And about a year ago, before the 4th of July, Micaiah and I were hiking on the Appalachian Trail in the Shenandoah National Park. And a portion of the way through, we could look down and to a little valley and see where Brother Ron's house was. Actually, I couldn't see his house, but I could see the area where the property was and a little town. And so that's about as close as we've been. And of course, when they found out, they said, you mean you came that close and you didn't stop by? So anyway, we're really glad to have them with us this weekend. And Brother Ron's a real man of God, a real servant of God, and his wife as well. I mean, they're just totally sold out. They've paid great prices, but there's been great victories along the way. And so we're excited to have both of them with us. We got to go up to Sabino Canyon for a little while yesterday, and it was perfect weather for it. It started out a little chilly. It was probably below 32, I'm guessing, in the canyon. It felt like it was freezing, but warmed up nicely, and we even had a couple of immature golden eagles soaring over us for a little while there towards the end, and so just had a real nice time. Our poor sister got acquainted with one of our native plants, the prickly pear, poor thing, and me with my, you know, sometimes we relax around other ministers, and, you know, maybe you say things that maybe you shouldn't say, but you certainly don't often say, and I was mentioning to them, you know, all the years that we've been doing tours up there that, you know, there are some people that, well, I'll tell you the way I told them. I said, there's some people that are wimps that whine, you know, and of course there's many, many more that cry and just, you know, they're just so glad to be here and to have that opportunity. And no sooner had I said that than our sister got acquainted with a cactus. And about the, you know, we come over and we're pulling cactus out, and she looks at me and she says, I'm not one of those wimps. I said, Sister, I wish I hadn't said anything, you know. But she's not. She's neither one of them. You know, they've been through a lot, and to spend time with them, you wouldn't know that from, you know, just the sweetness that's in their lives. But that's what brings out the sweetness. You know, we don't want trials, we don't want the pressures, but it's the crushing a lot of times that releases the sweet aroma. So anyway, we were thankful to have that opportunity. And then last night we had our couples banquet, and I think it's maybe our fifth, if I'm not mistaken, time that we've done it, and we just had a real wonderful time, and I learned a lot myself. For those of you that were there, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you that weren't, somehow I got roped into one of these panels where, you know, that your wife writes, you know, she's asked a question, and she writes down what her husband's going to say, and, you know, the husband's got a list of questions, what his wife's going to say. I think we were the winners of last place. You know, you would think, we're coming up on 37 years of marriage, you'd think we'd know one another by now. And there were several entries where my wife wrote down the right answer, then crossed it out and put something else down, you know. And then a lot of the answers that she gave, you know, we discussed these things like, you know, would you rather go on a cruise or would you rather, this isn't excuses. Well, maybe it is. Would you rather go camping or go on a cruise? It's been her, she's wanted to go on a cruise forever. We just, But we end up going camping. So what is her answer? Camping. So I get to talking to her about it this morning. I'm like, well, what's up with that? You know, she says, you know, I've been thinking about it lately, and I'm thinking about if you go on a cruise, you got to have a new outfit, and you got to have this and that and the other. It just makes sense to go camping. So, well, I guess we ought to update ourselves with one another. Her favorite color changed. It was no longer purple. It was blue. And then she changed mine. Made mine blue, too. Well, if you were there last night, you saw that it provided Brother Ron with lots of material. So I'm thankful that we could do our part. Well, we just had a wonderful time, and the Lord just really dealt with us. And there were so many things that were said, and a lot of personal things, you know. And it's one thing to share things by faith and revelation, and we want that, and we believe in that, and we need that. But when it's also backed up with, you know, personal experience, there's just something about that, you know, a life lived. So we just take all those little nuggets and hold them close, and want to hold on to it. One thing that Brother Ron said yesterday, there are many, many things that are noteworthy that we could comment on, but just for the sake of time, one thing that he remarked on was that, you know, we shouldn't look at this as, you know, we're in such a hurry for the rapture and praying for the rapture and the coming of the Lord. There's benefits now. You're walking with him now. You're in a relationship with him now, and you know, if we're not careful, we lose focus of that. I mean, there's benefits. It's worth it in this life. If there is no other side, it's worth it on this side to walk with him and to live this better life that really is our protection and our peace and our comfort. And if we're not careful, we can, you know, we've got young people that haven't maybe come to the time where they've had their personal experience with the Lord, and we just want to make sure that we keep that focused, keep that our focus, and not be telling our young people, you know, the most desirable thing top of your list is the rapture. No, the most desirable thing at the top of your list is to know him. Doesn't matter what happens after that. Amen. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. So with that, we want to invite our brother to come, and I just told him to take his time, and as you know, you believe that God sent him, and that there's a gift in his life, that ministering gift, and that you operate that gift. And so whatever you have need of this morning, maybe you don't even know, but just ask the Lord to speak to you, and believe that he will. And he wants to do it more than we actually want it. And we want it pretty bad, don't we? Amen. Amen. So let's stand this morning. He counts the stars, one and all. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, he counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Amen. Think about it this morning. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know, hallelujah, amen, He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. One more time. Amen. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Yes, He does. He knows my name. He knows.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. I really mean it with all my heart. God bless you. I deem it an incredible honor to be here with you. I just know He's going to come. Amen. Maybe you have a need that you'd just like to say, Lord Jesus, would you pass by my way? I know you're here. I know you're here. Would you just come and speak to me? Almighty God, the very creator of heavens and earth, Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. Lord, we bow our heads before you in your presence. Lord, you know the timing. You know the very movement of how to orchestrate our lives. And here we stand. Lord, you're such a special God. And you care. Our prophet spoke, He cares. Do you care? Lord, we know you care about our every little need. Sometimes our needs are so overwhelming until we don't know how we'll get through the day. Lord, you knew that we would come to certain spots in our lives and we would need help. Father, today, if there's anything that we could say to you, is I trust you. I trust you, Father. You're our great provider, our great way maker. And Lord, today as I stand here behind this pulpit, and I just ask you, Father, that you would anoint these lips of clay. Lord, you're the great one among us. And I pray that you'd bless Brother Doug in the ministry here. Lord, I find Brother Doug to be a great man. A great man. And I ask you, as I stand behind this desk that has been charged to him, I ask that you to bless him. May you even refresh him, Father, this week. May you strengthen him. Bless this audience, we pray. Our hands lifted to you with our needs. We ask you that you'd touch every one of them. from small to even great. Needs at our home, Father, we have a young man that's in the hospital this morning, 17 years old. And it's life and death. My own brother-in-law is in the hospital with heart failure. Stretch forth your hand to him, Father. Be merciful to him. Oh God, I ask you to move in a special way today. Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. He's certainly good to us, isn't he? Amen. I'd like to thank you for being able to come and the opportunity and the wonderful invitation to be here. And some of you I know, some I don't know, but in a few minutes you'll realize I'm not any great preacher. You'll just know he's just one of the boys. And so, but I'd like to say thank you for having me. And I have enjoyed Brother Doug for many years, and I hope you know how great a man that you have working among you. And sometimes we kind of take things for granted, but I'm not saying this because I'm standing behind his pulpit. I said this last week at home. Doug Baker is a great man, and I deeply love him. I want to just share something just personal with you before I even go to the Word. Brother Doug had called me probably about 6 or 8 months ago and asked me to come. And so as the schedule would become, you know how life is. Life gets busy. And I was beginning to look at this meeting and I was thinking, it's going to be impossible for me to go. Absolutely impossible. I'm not going to be able to go. And under much thought and much desperation, I thought, because I'm not a guy that cancels. And I thought, I'm going to have to send him a note, I can't come. I don't remember the exact date of when I sent it, but I sent the note. And I was sitting in the parking lot at Sam's Warehouse when I sent the note. And I walked through the doors of Sam's and walked down the aisle, and I was in a certain aisle, actually looking at some hardwood floor, and I heard a voice. And he said, you got to go to that meeting. You got to be at that meeting. I'm going to do some things. So I want you to know that there's somebody else in the building. Amen. 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 If you will turn with me this morning to Psalms chapter 91. Boy, I enjoyed last night. And you forgive me if I got a little too loose, but I sure enjoyed last night. Amen. So glad to have Sister Connie with me. And she's definitely been my sweetheart. And amen. And thank you for all your prayers for her. And we've had a few bumps in the road with fighting an enemy that sometimes comes in the form of affliction and accidents, but we're here. Amen. All of that has made us what we are today. Amen. Psalms chapter 91 and verse 1. For those that's known me any length of time knows this is my favorite scripture. I want to share it with you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You may be seated. I want to continue with that scripture, if you don't mind. There shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. For they shall bear thee up in their hands, and lest that thou dash thy foot against the stone. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. I love these words. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I love that, don't you? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I love it, don't you? For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Brother Branham tells a story, and just having a specific prophetic insight, he tells a story of how that Amram and Jochebed, which would be Moses' mother and father, they realized that this child was a special child. They realized that it was given to them by Almighty God. And they realized that with this child was given specific responsibility and great charge. Even all of that, they had to have a lot of human feelings that would go on. They would be given the instructions to take that child and place it in a crocodile-infested waters. Sometimes our heart almost overwhelms us with the instructions that has been given us. Sometimes there are some days that we go through in life that we literally realize that it's more than a tightrope that we're walking on. And we realize that if it wasn't for him, we would fail. And we couldn't make it through another day. And so, no doubt as they walk down to the water today, listen, in their human, they'd had heard a lot of stories. A lot of people have been eaten. A lot of people have been thrown in these waters. These alligators are very much attuned to human flesh in the water. But the things that they couldn't see is what they were trusting in. Brother Branham said God spoke to Gabriel, and he said, line up thousands of angels down this Nile. And when he gets in a whirlpool, you see that he gets out. And when a crocodile comes up, may an angel stand on that little basket. And every time he sticks his nose up, Let that angel take his foot and press that crocodile right back in the water. There's been some times in your life, whether you knew it or not, that there was angels standing very near. A lot of times we come to church and we kind of get this, what has he done for me lately mentality if we're not careful. And we'll think God's not doing anything. But literally many times during those seasons, that's when he's carrying us and taking care of us. And I would like to remind you that you are better protected than the President of the United States of America. Because you're sons and daughters of God. You were thought of before the foundation of the world. And he knew when you would be born, and he knows when you will leave the earth. He knows the days that you will be through. This is not fatalism or some kind of predestination way out on a limb. God knows, and he's taken responsibility for your life. Our prophet says, like a mother and father, they prepare for your coming and your arrival. They get everything just ready in the room, knowing that you're coming. That's going on at my house. I have a grandbaby that's preparing to be born. My granddaughter, my Lisa daughter, she couldn't have a child. They'd been married for a few years and they couldn't have a child. My son-in-law was crushed in an accident last year and his pelvis was completely destroyed. And he laid almost helpless in condition for quite a few months. But God, rich in mercy, raised him back up. It was in a prayer line that God touched her body and touched him. And that which everybody thought was impossible became possible. We're making great preparations for the arrival of that little boy. We're excited about it. We're literally excited about it. Let me just, I don't know if this is being taped, but if you could just let me be myself for a moment. And don't think I would go overboard with this, and I don't want to do this, and almost cautious, but it was at Brother Tim Pruitt's meeting. At Brother Tim Pruitt's meeting, we're having a prayer line. And at the end of the prayer line, Brother Wendell Martin's wife is the last one that I will pray for before I became too weak. And then they take me off of the stage and they carry me to the motel where I'm at. One of the young men's carrying me is Aaron Oglesby. He's carrying me through the room. And as he's carrying me through the room, my son Andrew was with us. And there's carrying me and getting me prepared for bed. And I turned to Brother Aaron. I said, today is going to be a special day. You'll never be the same the rest of your life. From this day forward, you'll carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I prayed for him, and the Spirit of God just descended. He went shouting out of the building and went over. Brother Kenny, you may remember this. And he just went, it's different now. It's different now. But at the same time, God showed me a vision of a little boy being born to Whitney. Let me just be myself for a moment. They kept asking me, what do you think she's going to have? What do you think she's going to have? What do you think she's going to have? Well, it's not a guess if when you really know what she's going to have. And Connie would tell me, don't you tell, don't you tell. So the other day when they shot the gun off and the balloon blowed up and it was blue. There's a lot of preparations are going on for that. But God knew it all the time that this is the way it was going to be. He just knows. Now that's just a small story, a snippet story that might just come out of my file. But God knew your arrival when you were coming. And he made very special preparations for you. And he's taken great care that you would arrive real safely. And God would take care of you and watch over your life. Because inside of you is a predestinated seed. that he thought of before the foundation of the world. And a God rich in mercy that would watch over your life. And he would supply you with the greatest message that has ever been sent to the earth. And he pre-planned your arrival of when you would come. And he had everything just ready for you. Now God's not like man is. Man evolves. And as a man evolves, he tries to get the advantage over top of another. And maybe if it's a stone, men are fighting with stones, somebody will come up with the idea of maybe of a sling or maybe a sharper rock, or then come a knife, and then come a bow and arrow, and then come a gun. Brother Bram said all the way to atomic. But God didn't evolve. He knew the end from the beginning. So he gave you the greatest weapon immediately to start out with. That was his word. Are you with me now? His word has atomic power within itself. It's the power of creativity. Now let me just say this to you. The prophets were anointed of all the ages. Now no doubt, as Brother Doug and these other ministers can tell you, when God drops something in your heart, and that special something in your heart that just begins to inspire you, and as it begins to inspire you, and God takes that human ability, that gift of the anointed of God, and he begins to inspire that, you're like a part of an orchestra. You just begin to play it out. Standing in a pulpit, maybe many times nobody's paying any attention, but you know yourself that God spoke to you. And tonight this word that he spoke to you has specific instructions inside of it. And it's got a specific anointing. And it's going to go and find its resting place. I can just see Isaiah as a word begins to speak through his heart. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. He knew that came from God. He knew that was more than his human ability. He knew that. He didn't say that. Why, he's a grown man. He knows that that's scientifically impossible for that to happen. But God's going to become a kinsman redeemer. He's going to take this cursed earth and take a piece of it off of the earth. Are you with me now? We hear our prophet speaking. And he begins to talk about you coming. How that God pre-planned you. How that God's watched over you. Brother Branham will use some terms. An invincible army. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but probably you never heard that in the Baptist church. You never heard that in other organizations. But now God's prophet is going to speak this to a group of people. Not to make you think within your own heart that your flesh is any greater than anything else. But that you could take this word into your heart with checkbook authority and realize that God is behind you. He is your leader. He's your guide. And if you can come to a spot to where you can tell him, I trust you. Are you with me? Now, notice the scriptures. It becomes more than just scriptures. His angels will have charge over you. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. These are scriptures that are very familiar to you. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now I want to remind you, you're not the only one reading this book. You have an arch enemy that looks at this word. And he knows that there's a people on the earth. If they get the revelation of who they are and what they stand for, that they can do the greater works. Are you with me now? Now these are the things that he's going to watch for. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Let me just go to the great quote book, Mark chapter 16. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. This is not to some foreign deal. This is to you. I can do all things. This ought to give you a confidence this morning. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now let me just back up just for a moment. Strength is in position. Strength is in knowing who you are. Are you with me? Oh, daughters of God, if you could grab a hold of that today and realize what a position that you have on the earth. Sons of God, if you could only realize this today. Are you with me? You may not weigh 110 pounds soaking wet, but you got authority with God. And if we could be reminded of this over and over again, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That means that the most powerful demons in hell that have been trained for thousands of years for their job, those most powerful enemy, they were created to be that way. But greater is God that is on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? You must understand that God is the amen. He is the final answer to the whole thing. You will be presented with a lot of whispers in your ear. There's a lot of lies that will come to your ears, because the enemy has a right to whisper in your ear. He has a right to work upon you. He's only got a short time to work. Young people, that's why he will present you the greener grasses of all the world and all the attractions. He's only got a short time to work on you. So he'll try to throw every possibility and every opportunity in your way. But when you begin to realize who God has sent you here to do, and you got a work to do in your life. Are you with me now? You could have sold out for a lot of things. Are you with me? But what goods is millions of dollars in hell? Sometimes we're attracted to the wrong things. Maybe it would be the biggest house in this community. That might be nice for a little season of time. That might be very attractive. You might be built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You might be a beauty queen, but all of that'll fade. Just give it the time test, as Brother Branham said. Just give it the time test. Time will take care of a lot of things. Are you with me now? Fields are full of foundations. to where monster houses used to be at. Time took care of that. Grave sites are full of monster men. Governors and kings and ambassadors. Graveyards are full of beautiful women that live their season and they're gone. But if you are a son and daughter of God, that graveyard is not the end. Because the last breath here is the first breath there. Are you with me? The scripture says in Acts chapter 3, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Are you with me now? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things unknown under the earth. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before thee whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for but there's none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song. Hallelujah. They sung a new song. I don't have to stop and preach to you there. I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm not under that identification no more. He's dead. He's passed away. Not patched up. Old things are gone, and a new creation came in. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. And has made us unto our kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I made a statement last night so many times as I heard Brother Doug saying it. So many times we're looking for the rapture and we just can't wait for the rapture. But what's going on right now? What's going on right now? God placed you in the job, in the school, in the neighborhood for a reason. Are you with me? Like stars in outer darkness, he put them there for a purpose. He ordained you and he chose you and he elected you for the job that he gave you. Hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like screaming it on the top of the mountain. Do your job. Do your job. I can hear Moses standing there crying out to God. And Brother Branham said, God spoke to him. What are you crying to me for? Speak and go forward. So many times we want to have our personal pity parties. Oh, help me now. We want to have our personal pity parties and climb up in a cave and go woo for me. Oh, you just don't know what I'm going through. I got a good idea Job knows what you're going through. I got a good idea that there's somebody been on the earth that's had some sort of form of your trial in your life. And the God that brought them through it will bring you through it. Are you with me now? And that God made a promise to you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you. The prophet, I'm not telling you any news, but the prophet preaches out of Psalms 27 for the rapture. And let me just share this with you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Fear is real. It's not a paper tiger. It's real. It's a lot of anxiety that fear can bring upon an individual. It's mentioned 600 times in the scripture. Fear is a reality. It's a reality. But God's greater than ever fear. So David is screaming, whom shall I fear? He knew some of these things. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, came and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing that I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me, and He shall set me upon a rock. Glory! We need one another. We need one another. We encourage our children as they're born. When they begin to take their first steps and they step, I enjoy video clips of children taking their first steps and they're just... And I can hear the moms and daddies cheering, go baby, go baby, go baby. And they're just shouting and shouting and they're so thrilled that their baby's taking steps. Well, you won't be impressed about that when they're 21. We're thrilled to hear that first words, daddy, daddy. It's almost invariable. Daddy, you pump your chest. He talked about me first. And you'll coach him and you'll coach him and you'll encourage him and you'll encourage him. And finally he says it. I was with a little fellow the other day. His name's Grayson. And he's learned a phrase. It's mine. And we was in a restaurant. And he thought another little girl was getting ready to get his baby. And he was going, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. No embarrassment. He's a little fella and that's mine. Brother Doug and myself, we were kind of, yeah, baby. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Brother Ron, that's funny. If we can get you to do that as children of God. If you can look at the promises of the Word of God and say, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I'm not going to let you take it away from me. Hallelujah. You're not the only one out on this sea of time. You're not the only one in the journey. Are you with me? It's not just your four walls and no more. We are together in this battle. And we need one another. Well, Brother Ron, I know it all. Well, share it a little bit. I may not be on your level, but don't kick me. Don't knock me down. Help me. Don't knock me around. Help me here a little bit. I can't play that piano, but I'm not going to knock Brother Kenny because he can. Just play it. While you're playing, it'll keep the devils off of me. Come on, church. Amen. Brother Ron, you're a little bit emotional. You know, we want somebody kind of quiet. Wrong guy. But Brother Branham said anything without emotion's dead. And it ought to be buried. And I hear our prophet get excited. And he was very, listen, just, don't you just wish you had a video of him hanging, sitting on the, up on the pulpit and dangling his legs? I'd say that's a little bit emotional. Or running around a tree up in the woods, I'd say that was a little bit emotional. I'd say up on this hill in Sabino, I'll guarantee you he got a little bit emotional. Oh glory. Oh glory. And if we could stop and think of what God's brought us through this week and what he's prevented us from this week. Praise, our had a little precious sister when we hear the story of it over and over again, how that she needed to go to church somewhere, and the only church she could find was a Baptist assembly, and she walked in, quite a large assembly, and the preacher said something finally that she agreed with. She said, "Amen." And the deacon stopped her and said, "We don't do that here." And after a while, she got a little excited and she said, "Hallelujah." And the deacon stopped her. He said, "We don't do that here." After a while, she's praising the Lord. And he stopped her and said, "Lady, I don't know what's wrong with you. We just don't do that here. What's wrong with you anyway?" She said, "I got the Holy Ghost." He said, "Well, you didn't get it here." First Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23 says it like this. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." What a powerful thing. To quit praying for you is a sin. Wow. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that God gave you. Is it not a wonder when you get down to pray or whatever position that you pray in that the devil brings you every thought to battle your mind because he knows that you are communicating with God? That it is an open channel between you and God. David says it like this, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and he leadeth me beside of the still waters. And he restoreth my soul and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Hallelujah. Brother Ron, we've heard these quotes over and over again. We need to be reminded over and over again. The prophet said, "All powers in heaven and earth is given into my hand. Go and I'll go with you. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven." The prophet told us a story. He said, "I remember one time of a story of a cockney in England. He was just an ordinary man. And they said that the king... one of the king's early days was going into his palace and he had a message to set forth, an urgent message because of the enemy. And he said to this little fellow standing there, "Here, take this message, hurry to a certain place and command this to be done. Take my scepter in your hand and that'll vindicate you that you're sent from me." And he stuck it under his robe and away he went. The guards everywhere trying to stop him and everybody else yelling, "Get away." He's, get away, I have the king's message. The message of a king. I'm the king's messenger. A vindicated word. Now watch what Brother Branham does with that. I thought, Satan, get out of my way. I have the king's message. I must go. One time when they killed the Prince of Peace and put him in the grave, sealed up the tomb, and the death held him for 3 days and nights. But on Easter morning, he had a scepter in his hand and hollered, "Get away, death. Get away, grave. Open up. I am the king's messenger. I must come forth to prove this resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life." Oh, glory to God. I hear Brother Branham tell a very simple story. It's rabbit season at home, so this kind of comes real handy. Brother Branham said a little rabbit, he said there was a story that the hounds was right behind him. And he could feel their hot breath upon his feet. And in just a little while or another jump or two, the hound was going to get the little fella. He would be gobbled up in just a moment. But after a bit, he saw a hole in a rock. And he thought, oh, if I could only get to that rock, then I'll be safe. And just as that dog made that last jump at him, he felt his hot breath on his heels. But he under that rock. And there he could be set down and let all the pressure off. That hound could not scratch through that rock. Lord Jesus, I pray to thee this morning, Lord, that some of the creatures of yours that's wandered away from the safety zone, that they could feel the hot breath of the hounds of hell. Young women, young men galloping right behind them, seeing their life breaking away to the other side. May they hurry this morning to the cleft in the rock. There is one. The righteous run into it, and you're safe and granted, Father, through Jesus thy Son. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Brother Brown said this, and this quote come to me this morning. I want to share it with you. From a little group of the true seed of the word. God will present Christ with a beloved bride. She is a virgin of his word. She is a virgin because she knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. By and through, the members of the bride will be fulfilled. That all that was promised of God to be manifest in the virgin. The word of promise came to the Virgin Mary. But that word of promise was he himself to be made manifest. God was made manifest. He himself acted at the time fulfilled of his own word. The promise in the virgin. It was an angel that had brought her the message. But the angel's message was the word of God. Isaiah 9:6. And he fulfilled at that time all that was written of him because she accepted his word to her. The members of the virgin bride will love him. And they will have his potentials. For he is their head and all powers belong to him. They are subject to him as members of the body are subject to their heads. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed to him by the Father. John 5:19. This was harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Let me just stop right here for a moment. Brother Branham was doing more than just spending energy. He was talking about you. There's not a test at the end of this class. Are you with me now? If you could just realize who you are and what you have been sent here to do. It's not that you have to make yourself do anything. All you gotta do is breathe. Hallelujah. Because in the inside of you is a dynamo that is unexplainable, that God placed there. And God's word. This word is an action word. It's not a dead letter. It's full of action. And God wants to use you. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love me? You're talking about checkbook authority. Hallelujah. It was about a year ago. Just a little over a year ago. It was early one morning. I fell into a dream. Oh, there's dreams and that have absolutely no meaning. When God sends you a dream and you know it's from God, there's a presence that comes with it. This particular morning, I went into a dream. And in this dream, I saw myself in a large assembly. People were just everywhere. And I saw Brother Timothy Pruitt as he would come up and he would begin to preach a sermon. And that sermon would begin to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Then Brother Tim Pruitt would come to the pulpit. You know these two individuals, so I can just freely tell you. Brother Tim Pruitt would walk to the pulpit, and on this morning, he called my name, and I was sitting among many people. Called my name, and he said, precious friend, Brother Ron Spencer. Then he began to speak these words, O thou afflicted, stand and be healed. When he said that, I woke up, and there was a presence in the room. You know that kind of presence. That presence was in the room until I went into another language. I just stood and rejoiced. I rejoiced and I rejoiced. I told my wife about it. I wrote it down. I later would send that to Brother Tim of what had just happened in the room that morning. I was just moved by it all. I had had a heart attack 4 weeks before. And I thought that might be my healing. My mother would go into the hospital later that day. And she had had a heart attack. My son-in-law, whom I just told you about, they're expecting a child. I turned out of the driveway that morning and ice had hit some places and we actually drove about 2 hours with absolutely no problem. He drove less than 5 minutes. Flipped his truck, wrapped it around a tree. About 3 o'clock that afternoon, we would find out that his shoulder was crushed. His ribs were crushed. His vertebrae were crushed. 5 of them were crushed. His hips were crushed. So now there's a lot of things happening. I have a specialist appointment that afternoon. I go to the specialist appointment for the heart that afternoon and we're sitting, my son Andrew's with me. We're sitting across from the specialist and he just looks at me and he said, I want to tell you. He said, yeah, you had a heart attack. But I've studied all your tests. I've looked at everything. It's as though it never happened. I went that afternoon, drove right straight from that appointment to my son-in-law. Now it's going to be the first time that I walk into the room. Walk into the room and there he's laying on the bed. He can't move anything but his eyes and he's just laying there. We begin to call on God. And the doctors walk in after a little bit. We know that they're God's agents on the earth. And they begin to talk to him and They begin to tell him, we're going to put you back together. It may look real bleak, but we're going to put you back together. Are you with me? And we believe when doctors put you back together, God will heal that which they put back together. Are you with me now? Long story short, with that part of the deal, God raised him right back. He went right back to the same job that he had before. They said it would never happen, but let me just say, God's a healer. The next morning, that night, Saturday night, I go to church and speak. On the way home, something began to press in my heart. Get to your mother. I told Sister Connie when we arrived close to home, I said, I gotta go to my mom's side. She said, well, I can't go. I gotta be with Whitney, with Davy that's laying in the hospital. I said, that's fine, but I'm going to my mom's side. Brother Andrew, which is my second son, who's also a minister, both sons are ministers, but Andrew goes with me to my mom's side and we arrive just in time. She is coding and all the doctors are standing around her. They're all working. And they gave me a conversation that I wasn't ready for, that her heart was literally pumping in a circle and she has no chance. My mom was as alert as I am standing here preaching to you. We have a conversation and she tells me how much she loves me. We have just seconds to have a conversation. I tell her how much I love her and how much I appreciate her. And I step back and one of the nurses comments, she is the sweetest woman we've ever seen. Even as she's dying, she's so sweet. And the doctor tells her, says, well, listen, if you'll just let us, we'll keep you alive with machines. And she said, oh no, I'm ready to go. And it was just like a light was cut off. Now that may sound like a horrible story to somebody that's not a Christian. But I had a dream only a couple mornings before that with the presence of God. And my mom stepped from that suffering condition. And she rose up in a brand new body. The same God was in the room that morning. I have identified him in this room. And maybe you're suffering with, maybe as a young person, there's a lot of choices that have been made in your life. And maybe you're tangled in a lot of direction and maybe you've been hurt in a whole lot of different ways. Just because you fall down, don't mean you gotta stay there. Get up! Get up! Get up! Take courage! Get up! Your child, after it takes a few steps and falls, that don't mean he lays there. Encourage him. Get back up, honey. Oh, but Brother Ron, I'm 80 years old. Get up! Get up! Keep pressing the battle! My father-in-law was ran over by a churning tractor. It was a horrendous accident. A tractor pulled all the way up on his back. Massive tractor. And it was sitting there just spinning, just tearing his body. Miraculously, that thing stopped. It stopped, and they were able to get that tractor off of him. You know, he could have said, well, this is my end. It's over with. That leg was taken off. He would suffer phenomenal pain because it crushed not only his leg but up into his back. I remember his first sermon back. We rolled him to the pulpit in a wheelchair. He took away every excuse to stay home from church. I'd roll him up the back to the office to our pastor's study, and he'd be taking pain pills, and he'd say, "This is going to be a great service." And he would sing songs like, "Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday." And he would pour those songs off over and over and over again. He was a man's man. He was rugged. He was tough. But after going through a mangling, which he went through, finally I told him one day, I said, "When you feel inspired and you feel healthy enough, I want you to preach." He'd been a pastor through the years. Now it looked like the enemy had tried to crush him and destroy him. We rolled him to the pulpit. I'll never forget the eagerness in him. We put a desk in front of him, handed him a microphone. You talking about a warrior that was ready. Brother Eli, you could see the tiger on the inside of him. "Let me get out." And he preached a sermon on, "Be you therefore ready. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." You gotta be ready. Brother Mike Price took pictures of Brother Homer singing. Actually, it would be the last time that Brother Homer would ever sing in our church. But he didn't go down in defeat. He was a warrior to the last little bit. You say, "Brother Ron, was he defeated?" Oh, contraire. Oh, contraire. I can only imagine in the realm of hell. I don't believe I've ever preached like this right here. But I can imagine in the realm of hell, death gets the assignment, "Go get Homer." I can hear the screams in hell, "No! For a Christian, it's only our taxi cab." Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. You can edit the next 2 minutes of what I'm getting ready to say. I've been invited numerous times here to this area. But when Brother Doug invited me to come 2 years ago, something said go. And I believe the other morning in Sam's, God spoke to us that God's going to do some special things in this meeting at this time. Now, I want to say this to you, and maybe I'll spend and elaborate on this tonight, but I really like the spot of being where God wants me at. I really like being exactly where He wants me at. I would rather be where He's at 5 minutes than where He was at 10 years. Don't take that the wrong way. But I want you to understand, take advantage of what God's doing for you today. The prophet used a term, says that she knows what he wants done with the word. There's a woman in another country that is called a queen. Now it's a kingdom without a whole lot of power, just a lot of royalty. But let me just say, not just anybody is going to address her. And what she has some authority. When she says it, it has some authority behind it. We've got men that are called presidents. Whether it's a tweet or a speech, it's going to arouse opinions. It's going to arouse positive and negative. It's going to stir because that's a demonic atmosphere. Brother Branham said politics is of the devil. And you can watch the influence of just what a tweet does in a day. We're walking in another atmosphere. I'm not in particularly concerned with what your job is. From a janitor, the president of a bank, that's not any issue with me. God bless you in whatever job that you do. But let me just say this to you. If you realize who you are, words have power. They have creative ability to them. They have an anointing that's behind them. And because you are who you are, you can speak to the mountain, be thou removed. And whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Just stop here just for a moment. Sorry to keep you so long. But if you could only realize the things that does not happen. Let me just give you a for instance here. Many young Christians will ask me, Brother Ron, what do you think the greatest miracle that Jesus did? One time I was asked that question, and I answered him in an odd way. It just came into my heart, the things that he didn't do is a great miracle. There were some things that he could have did standing in front of Pilate. He could have turned their world upside down. He could have turned the world, but he held himself. When he was chained to a block and they were beating him like no other man had ever been beat, he could have nodded to one angel. Just a simple nod. You guys have got simple nods. I actually watched you while you guys were leading singing. Just a nod. You guys know. You interact. I watched how you interacted. You just kind of look at one another. You don't even have to have a conversation. You just kind of look at one another. And because you've worked together for so long, you just know. You know. You know, and you don't have to talk 52 words. Just know. No. Sometimes that's almost husband and wife. It's almost a divine gift between the two of you. One of you thinks blue, one of you thinks purple. Can't leave it alone, Brother Doug. Jesus could have just nodded. And there were angels dispatched like they were with Moses and that child in the bulrush. And I'm getting closer to an end than you even realize. If you could just realize who you are. There's angels dispatched just in another room. Not very many feet from you to watch over you. You're never alone. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. was called one time to come and pray for a boy whom I did not even know. Someone from our church knew them. And he was mangled in an accident. And I've never seen a body that mangled in my entire life. We walked into that room. Walked up beside his bed. The doctors instructed us, don't lay hands on him. We've instructed the parents, don't touch him. He's mangled so bad, we don't know where all he's hurt, where all nerves are attached or what's not attached. Don't even touch him. We went in, and I'll never forget it. I laid my hands on the rail that was on his bed. We begin to pray. I prayed, I turned and shook the mom and dad's hands, and if they were sitting in the building tonight, I wouldn't recognize them. But I turned and I shook their hands and told them that we would be praying. The next morning, that boy, when he woke up, his body popped back into position. They sent that boy home that day. Brother Doug, these were his words to his mom and daddy. Did you see the two angels that walked in the room last night? Those people have never came to our church, don't know anything about us. I'm nobody but his body. And I only rehearsed that to tell you this today. You've got work to do. Maybe your job's not a preacher. Give me just a couple more minutes. Maybe you're just a young lady. Let me just take you to a scriptural reference. There was a man that history says that he had been the man to shoot King Ahab to fulfill the word of God. And that man became a great and gallant and became a high position. But that man was a leper. He had taken captivity a young Jewish girl. And many believe that because he did that, leprosy came on him. Not doctrine, just saying it. But that young girl saw Naaman in that condition. And she told his wife that if he would go to her prophet, that he could be healed. Let me just say this, you, God knows where you're at, and you may feel like you're in captivity. But if you can just remember, you've been sent a word of creative power. You could rise and be healed even this morning. Oh, glory to God. Brother Bram just uses a statement. Maybe we could conclude with this. We'll start again tonight. Who has the most power before God? What is an angel? An angel is a servant. They're his servants. What are you? His son and daughter. Who has the most power in heaven then? A sinner that's been saved by his grace, or an archangel that's standing by his right side? The sinner that's been saved by grace has more authority in heaven than an archangel that stood by his right side, by his side without sin, because he is a son. And a son has more authority than a servant does. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. don't know what your need is this morning. But I believe he's here to meet your need. Let me just remind you just now. It is you that holds the key. It is you that holds the key. You could get hands laid on you by every preacher in this message. But if your faith doesn't reach out and grab a hold of that word for yourself, this is mine. I've watched you as the word went forth here this morning. This kind of presence kind of takes me back to kind of presence one time that was in the building. You see, my lungs have been burnt 75%. Now it's about a year, and I've suffered with my lungs for that time. Sure, God's delivered me, and I've been raised back up, and I'm preaching again. But I'm still suffering with the condition. While Brother Biscoe was speaking, it was in a big convention. While he was speaking, I was sitting in the balcony area. And he got about 2/3 through the sermon. And I felt something. I felt him. And I said, this is for me. Brother Doug, you may have even been there. I stood to my feet and I raised my hands before God. And I felt like a tunnel of wind come down over top of me. And God filled my lungs. I thought it was going to blow my chest apart. God filled my lungs. And to this day, I haven't suffered with my lungs. And that's been 10 years. Are you with me now? Oh, Brother Ron, I'm waiting for something to happen. He's here. Oh, someday, he's here now. One of these days, he's here to do the work for you now. I don't know your need this morning, but he does. He does. Maybe for Sunday morning, this would be unusual. I don't know. It's the first time I've preached in this building. But I would say, Brother Kenny, if I was sitting where you were sitting, I wouldn't miss it. I don't believe I'd miss it. I hear our prophet go, don't miss this now. Whatever you do, don't miss this. Now, don't you miss this. I'm not a prophet. I wouldn't even pretend to be. But I would tell you, don't miss this. Don't miss this now. He's orchestrated this whole meeting. Are you going to have a prayer line, Brother Ron? Oh, no. He's already came to your pew. Don't miss this now. Sweetheart's weekend. Won't you take your sweetheart by the hand just now? Amen. And you know your need. And it's almost like a nod. Amen. It's almost like a nod. He's such a personal God, he knows how to meet your need. Maybe there's things that you think are absolutely impossible, Brother Ben, and you don't know how you're going to put it all together. Don't you miss this now. But God's got it all in control. Almighty God. Oh, what a presence. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a great healer you are. I can hear blind Bartimaeus. He realized this is an opportunity that has came by his way today. And he screamed out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't know. He didn't even know how to address you. But he called out from the burden of his heart. Oh God, I call out to you right now. Oh, hallelujah. What an overwhelming presence is in this building. I believe this is the reason you spoke to me now. To be here at this moment. Lord, I did not want to miss this. Now, Father, these are your children. And because they're your children, I ask you just now, may you sweep like eagle's wings across us even now. We realize we're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And we call you our Lord. Now, Satan, you take your hands off of God's property. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority and the commission of the Word of God, you're stripped. You're stripped to Calvary. You don't have the keys to your own house. You have no arrows for your bow. You are defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you must be reminded on resurrection morning, our Lord Jesus stepped forth from that grave, never to go back again. We stand as the redeemed of the earth. We stand as the children of God. And we claim our God-given promises. Even this morning, right now, you see our needs, Father. We express them to you. Oh, hallelujah. May you pass by our way right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Won't you just worship Him now? Hallelujah. You just worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 Won't you just let Him speak to you just now? Kenny, could we play that song, "Worthy is the Lamb"? Hallelujah. 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 Just let Him do the work right now. Just let Him do the work right now. There's nothing like coming to the spot to where you just at. Just let Him do the work right now. Hallelujah. 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 Blind Bartimaeus didn't go away and was ever known as blind Bartimaeus again. He never had to walk back to that spot ever again. He might pass it by and think about, remember the day. Maybe you today are sitting in a certain spot. And maybe years down the road you'll look back at today and say, I remember the day he passed by. Brother Ron, one time we was in a service together and Jesus came by. It's really important that you recognize he's passing by right now. If you just recognize he's passing by just now. Oh, sure, he comes in every service. Sometimes you see him, sometimes you don't see him. Feel him, don't feel him. But I want to say this to you this morning. Today's a special day. Today's a special day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just sing it to him, Brother Kenny.
Yes, worthy is the Lamb. Just sing it one more time to him.